Yo, 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 what's happening?
Radio.
Here we go, Rob, let's have some fun. You know that sound. You know that sound.
Bring it, bring it, bring it, bring it. Pump up the volume.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming no weak stuff. Get that weak stuff out of here.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
Yeah, my time is now. It is, of course, Talking Sports with the 12th Man Time. This is what we do every Tuesday whenever we get the opportunity. Today is August the 5th. Man, the year is flying by, and you are officially Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Welcome. I am your host, Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. Jacked up after the Falcons and Hard Knocks, so I'm going to throw it to my co-host, Mr. Rob Ford. Checking. How you doing, sir?
Man, doing fabulous. Fabulous. Ready for a great night. Of course, you sound like you're hyped up from Hard Knocks, so I know we're ready to talk some sports tonight.
Let's kick it going, man. This is what it's all about. So first and foremost, you know how we always do, I like to throw out the numbers. If you want to call into the show, give us your thoughts, your feedback, all that fun stuff if you're watching America. The number to call into, if you want to interact with us, it's 424-243-9519. Once again, that's 424-243-9519. We're also on social media. The first way you can find us is on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put in Talking Sports with 12th Man, you'll find a lovely shot of me and Rob. I guess it's a handsome shot of Rob, too, but, you know, it's all good. And then finally, we're on Twitter. You go to at the number 12, THMANSports. You'll find us via Twitter. We post a lot of fun things every day, sports-related news happenings. We've got to talk about fantasy football. A lot of fun things, Rob, so are you ready to get this party started, sir?
Let's make it do what it do, Doug.
All right, let's kick it off. We're going to talk some football, as always, and we got a lot of things to discuss, too. So without further ado, Rob, if you didn't know, Andy Dalton recently got a new deal with the Cincinnati Bengals, obviously. And I guess the question we're going to have is he worth it? Because, you know, he hasn't been quite an elite quarterback just yet, so I guess the word on the street would be maybe he's not worth it. But I guess if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, maybe you're happy because he's taken to, what, three playoff appearances, if I'm not mistaken, Rob. So is this a good move? $150 million. It's just enough that he's, you know, getting paid, but he's not like in the elite status like the Drew Brees or Brady's or even Matt Ryan's a lot. So do you think this is a good move for Cincinnati with Andy Dalton, Rob?
Well, obviously, you just mentioned the fact that he led the Bengals to three straight playoffs, and they've lost all three of those games. So he has an 0-3 record in the playoffs. Now, at first sight, I thought that this was a bad move for the Cincinnati Bengals, giving him $115 million over 6 years. But after getting a little bit more information on the contract itself, it actually, the Bengals protected themselves quite a bit on this contract. And really, it's a two-year, you know, even though it's 6 years, $115 million on paper, they really protected themselves to whereas they can get out of it within 2 years. I think with the Bengals, I think they are committing to Andy Dalton for the next 2 years, and then they're going to reevaluate the situation after that. So I think it's a safe bet that Dalton will be the quarterback for the next 2 years. And then they're going to reevaluate the situation, how he's performing, if they want to continue with him as the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. So once again, at first sight, I thought it was a bad move because I didn't think he was deserving of that kind of contract. But once again, after getting further information on the contract, it's protected to where they can get out of it in 2 years, of course. And so for the most part, you know how NFL contracts are. They're not guaranteed. So it's really a two-year trial kind of contract. And if he does well these next 2 years, he can continue with this current contract.
Yeah, that's a good thought too, Rob. And I think you said that very eloquently in that, you know, the Bengals were doing everything they can because it's just enough so that they can say, all right, you know, this is your time to shine right here. So you've been to the playoffs. It's a situation, Rob, you got to put up or shut up, basically. So, you know, if he does, I think it's really incentive-laden, too. he makes a couple of incentive things. He's done some things. I had a Cincinnati Bengals fan in my office, Rod, and I think, you know, whether it's the playoffs and he hadn't played that well, I think he had like eight interceptions or something crazy like that. So, you know, now it's definitely his time, and that's not all his fault, obviously. But you've got a great receiver in A.J. Green. You got some talent in Giovanni Bernard. You know, he's got a pretty good defense. So now is the time for the Bengals to say we've got this two-year window, and we'll see if he can live up to the contract. If not, Rob, they're going to try to make a move and probably get another quarterback, if you will.
Absolutely.
Keep it moving, huh? Let's talk more or less about, as we say, with football, and we're going to keep it on the quarterback side. And let's talk about Brett Favre. And the word on the street is that, yeah, he's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, the Packers Hall of Fame, if you will. The question is, how should the Packer fans receive him? So here's a situation, Rob, where, you know, I don't think he was that gracious to Aaron Rodgers before he left. I mean, I don't know anyone who would be, but, you know, he decides to leave and he goes to, not only does he go, you know, to another team, he goes to one of the hated rivals, to the Vikings, and then he decides to once again come back and play a little bit, you know, in his career, if you will, too. But do you think the Packers fans are going to receive him with open arms, Rob, you know, kind of all is forgotten, or do you think there's going to be a slight contingent that may not be happy with what he did?
Well, based on what I'm hearing, there's still a lot of Packer fans that are holding some grudges against Brett Favre. But I think at this point, he's retired. And I think it's time to let bygones be bygones. This guy was a legend for the Green Bay Packers for a long time. Legend to the Super Bowl championship there in the 90s. Almost came close on one or two others. So I think it's time to you go ahead and honor this guy, the gunslinger that he was for the Green Bay Packers. I think it's time to put those things behind him. There are a lot of great players that have gone on to play for other teams. Joe Montana has done it, gone on to play for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so, I mean, I think it's time that you go ahead and honor him. He's had most of his best years with Green Bay. And I think if you're a Green Bay Packer fan in the state of Wisconsin, I think it's time to pay all due respect to Brett Favre.
You know, Rob, I think it's tough because I think there's times whenever you kind of appreciate what somebody has done as far as respecting the player. But like you said, no one is bigger than the team. You know, so that's kind of what I'm hearing from some fans as far as, you know, yeah, we appreciate what you've done. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're not bigger than the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, that would be a situation where, you know, thank you, number four, you know, you're liked, but you may not be loved, if you will. You know, so that's kind of my take on it. But, you know, maybe there's – I don't think you're going to make everybody happy. So, end of the day, you know, we respect you, Brett. Maybe we don't look like we used to whenever you went to that, you know, god-awful purple and gold from what I'm hearing from the fans, if you will, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, he went on to play with the Vikings for a couple of years, Jets for 1 year.
Yes.
Obviously, the most of his career success came with the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, of course, you know, he had some games where he threw a lot of picks, but he also had a lot of great games, and he led you to the Super Bowl title, too.
It's funny how, you know, we used to always make fun of him because I know it was interesting to hear a lot about John Madden was just in love with Brett Favre. I know we used to always make these jokes about that too, but it was good to see that. You know, and John Madden talked how much how Brett Favre won a game with both hands tied behind his back. That was pretty awesome. But and also it is pretty ironic too, because actually Brett Favre did actually start with the Falcons, believe it or not. But you know, he just couldn't get it together back then, so he had to go to Green Bay, so and kind of make his legacy there too. So you talk about just an interesting, you know, dichotomy with that too. So anyway,
yeah, too much nightlife in Atlanta for him. He had to go to a little small town and, you know,
yeah,
and focus on football like he did at the University of Southern Miss in Hattiesburg. So that's what that was all about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was tough. Yeah, he could not be in Atlanta. So sometimes, you know, being in that small, nothing to do kind of helps save his career too, for sure. But man, what could have been, is what we always say. Yeah, let's kind of kick it back. Let's talk about the Saints, Rob. I know the Saints. Hopefully, Drew Brees is doing okay. I know he had a sore oblique muscle, or not a sore. Excuse me, he's had a strain. I don't want to put it out there. so he's been taking some time off. Hopefully he's feeling better. And I've been hearing that Brandon Cooks is looking very impressive in camp. I guess the question is, the Saints have had some struggles on the road, and do you think they're going to turn around this particular season, Rob?
Well, if they want to have any shot at winning the Super Bowl this year, they're going to have to win on the road. That's just the bottom line. The Saints were 8-0 at home last year, but they were 3-5 on the road, finished 11-5, and, of course, finished second place in the NFC South behind the Carolina Panthers. And I think that road record was the big difference for them as far as not winning in division. And, you know, of course, had to go on the road in a tough environment and lose to the eventual Super Bowl champion, the Seattle Seahawks. So I think winning on the road is going to be very important. I think historically under Sean Payton, they've been a very good road team. It's just that last year that they wasn't. I believe that this year they will turn it around on the road and have a much, you know, a better chance at advancing a little bit further this season. But it's going to be key for them to, of course, continue winning at home. 8-0 the last 2 years under Sean Payton. Of course, there was a 1 year there when Sean Payton was suspended, but the last 2 years that he's actually coached, they were 8-0 at home. And, of course, they just got to get the road record back up to where it was before in order for them to be successful if they want to have a shot to move past Seattle, San Fran, and the elite teams in the conference.
Gotcha. Good stuff as always. Let's keep moving here. Let's talk more or less about that. We're going to keep it in the NFL. And let's talk about the Detroit Lions. If you didn't know, they actually they are now under the Jim Caldwell era right about now, Rob. And I guess it's pretty interesting to hear that because you know, Jim Caldwell had one of the greatest quarterbacks to play in Peyton Manning, too. So do you think he's actually impressing that upon Matt Stafford? Because the Lions have always been pretty they've had a pretty explosive offense. But do you think this is going to help propel them to have a top-five offense this season, Rob?
Yeah, I tell you what, when you look at their talent on paper, I think you should, I mean, on paper it looked like they definitely could be a top-five offense. Reggie Bush is still putting up some nice numbers. You went out and get a Golden Tate from Seattle. Mm-hmm. You still have Kelvin Johnson, Megatron, probably the best receiver in the game. Matthew Stafford is a gunslinger. In the mold of a Brett Favre, actually, too. He's got the strong arm. Sometimes he, you know, tries to throw in a triple coverage. He's got such great confidence in his arm, as John Madden would say about Brett Favre. He can throw it in triple coverage. But, you know, so obviously the talent is there for this team. I think, in my opinion, it's going to be up to Matthew Stafford to get this team to that next level offensively. And putting up the kind of numbers that he did about 2 or 3 years ago. The talent is there. I think Caldwell will get them there. I think if they're not top five, they're going to be really close. So I think this team can have an electric offense this year. It's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do in defense, and that's going to be the difference of tell us how far they can go as a team this season.
Yeah, you hope it's a team where they actually probably got one of the best young tight ends in Eric Ebron from North Carolina. So they're continue adding pieces, Rob, to the offense. But, you know, maybe it's a gunslinger mentality. You know, you got Megatron. I mean, that play right there is going to help you out. But, you know, I think they need to be a little bit more balanced. That's what I would say. So, you know, I know, like you said, Reggie Bush has been doing his thing. You know, but this is something they definitely have to kind of keep that moving to kind of become more of a balanced offense. You know, that's my kind of take on the situation, Rob.
Yeah, then when you look at, too, you know, you go out and draft that Eric Ebron. He's off to a slow start so far in training camp, but you know the talent is there. And then you have the tight end Gresham, who's also has some very good talent as well. Not Gresham. What's the tight end from Oklahoma State a few years ago they have on their ball club? Gresham is with Cincinnati Bengals. I'm drawing a blank on the name here. But they have some talent at the tight end that can hit those seams for you on the offense, too. So that's going to be real interesting as well for the Detroit Lions. They have weapons all around them for Matthew Stafford.
And it's always proved to be successful, Rob, and I was trying to look it up for you, too, because I was trying to think of who they had, too, from the tight end perspective, too. But that's okay. We'll keep moving as always. I am going to take the time real quick to throw out some numbers here real quick if you want to call into the show and just definitely add your thoughts. As always, if you want to throw it in, I'm thinking of Brandon Pettigrew, so you're thinking of probably from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, there you go.
No, Rob? Cool.
Yeah, all absolutely. Right,
don't have the numbers.
Thanks for that.
Real quick, if you want to call into the show, once again, it's 424-243-9519. We're kind of a good halfway point. Once again, 424-243-9519 is that number. Let's talk more or less about, the Cleveland Browns. I mean, seems like they can't go anywhere without talking about Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football. And, if you're Brandon Hoyer, you're probably thinking, man, what I got to do? But, and we found a way to put him on the show, Rob. Right now, if you had somebody right there and said, all or nothing, who do you think starts for the Cleveland Browns at the start of the season?
Well, I know we've talked about this on some previous shows here, and I know we're bringing it up again, this topic here. On previous shows, I've said that I think Brian Hoyer is definitely the guy that should be the starting quarterback for this team, that I didn't think Johnny Manziel was ready. I'm going to change that just slightly. I'm going to go along the lines of what you had said here maybe a few weeks ago. I think Hoyer starts the season. But, I think it's going to be all depending on how well he does starting the season. If the Browns come out winning and he's playing well, I think he keeps the job. If not, I can see them turning to Manziel like week four, week five, if they get off to a slow start. So I think it's going to depend on how well Hoyer starts. I definitely think Hoyer is still a starter week one. But I think they're going to try to get Manziel some reps with the first team here in this preseason. Just so he can get a feel for playing with the first team, just in case they have to go to him this season. So I think it's Hoyer starting, and I think it's going to be depending on how well the team does starting out the season, if he keeps the job or if they turn the ball over to Manziel week four or five.
It's kind of tough, Rob, because you got a situation where you got this guy, everyone wants the backup, and I give Hoyer a lot of credit because, he came back, he's been looking really sharp in practice. He definitely has a leg up on Manziel because he's more familiar with the offense and he's got more experience in the NFL. So that's something he's got going for him. But you have a guy that's, he's knocking on the door. He's exciting. His fans want to hear him. I'm watching training camp footage, and you got people spraying number two in their hair. So you can just tell that the excitement is there. So that's a lot of pressure on Hoyer, Rob. And like you said, that's why I agree with you. If he gets out to a good start and kind of holds off Johnny Manziel, that's whenever I think that he'll be okay. I do think eventually, but yeah, he's going to, Johnny's probably going to get the opportunity to play. But that's a lot of pressure on the Hoyer to actually come through. So, it really depends on how he's going to react to that, too. Because that's a tough situation to be in, to know that, everyone wants the backup guy behind you. So, right now he's doing a good job, but we'll see how that plays out. I think that it's only a matter of time this season before you see Johnny Manziel getting a start for the Cleveland Browns.
Very good call. Very good call.
Let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks. I know they were in the news because you had some stuff with Marshawn Lynch kind of holding out, but now Willen Tritty is actually going back. So if you're a Seattle fan, you're thinking this is great. I think all this turmoil, Rob, is going to make it tough for them to repeat. And now let's talk about Richard Sherman and his antics. Are they all in good fun? I know there's some jabbing going back and forth between him, very excitable on Twitter, him and Patrick Peterson going back and forth. Do you think this is good, Rob? Do you think this is a distraction for the team, or what are your thoughts about this? And I guess we got a call, too, to join in, too, in a quick second, too. So let's jump in, and I'll let you answer that, too. But, caller, you are on the air. Thank you for calling that Falcons Sports with 12Net.
Yeah, hello. This is Marty. I just thought I'd call the show. I missed the first 15 minutes of it, but I want to talk about Richard Sherman and Patrick Peterson. I think both of them are super cornerbacks, but that's all I'm going to say. I kind of jumped in late on the subject topic, so I don't really know what you're talking about. So anyway, I'm going to tell you fine job, fellas, and keep up the good work, and I really enjoyed your show.
That's good.
Oh, we certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, so okay. we were just talking about his antics.
Jump in it.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, that's all I wanted to say for right now. I really enjoyed your show. Wish you guys much success, and we'll be calling in periodically.
We certainly appreciate the call. Continue to tune in, and we certainly appreciate it. Spread the word. We're gonna keep going strong. You a fantasy football player, Maurice?
No, that's Marty. I'm Marty.
Oh, Marty. I'm sorry, I got the name wrong.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. That's all right. I probably didn't speak it to the phone real clearly. I'm Andre's dad. But anyway.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, like I said, I'll be chipping in with my comments from time to time. Like I said, I really enjoy your show. That's all I'm going to say at this time. But because, like I said, I missed the subject, the topic of what you guys are talking about, because I just tuned in, and I promised my son that I would take the plunge and call. So I'm doing just that. Anyway.
So, Daddy, I got a question for you. Daddy, because we were just talking about Johnny Manziel. If you think he's going to start, or who do you think is going to start for the Cleveland Browns? Is it going to be Manziel, or do you think it's going to be Brian Hoyer? Because we were talking about a lot of pressure that he's been feeling. But what are your thoughts on the situation? Do you think Manziel is going to start, or do you think that Hoyer is going to actually hold it down for the Cleveland Browns?
I think Manziel is going to start due to the fact that he's a ticket seller. Hoyer's got a good arm, but see, the thing, money talks, and Manziel's the money. So, therefore, the Cleveland fans are going to almost demand that he start. I don't care what Hoyer does. That's my opinion. He'll probably start the second game. He probably won't start the first game, but he'll probably start the second game because of pressure, because Hoyer is not – they're going to – Cleveland's going to have a so-so football team. They're probably a 7-9 team at best. So if they lose the first game, Hoyer's head will be on the platter.
All right. And it's a great call. We certainly appreciate that.
And Johnny Manziel will be splattered.
I tell you what, as a 49er fan, I'm sure you have to be a Richard Sherman hater, huh?
Richard Sherman is probably one of the better cornerbacks in the league. I don't like him. I don't dislike him either. I'm neutral on the playoff. They're a very talented team. They probably will not repeat. I don't think they're going to repeat.
Now, just to let you know, that's my dad. You can call him Daddy-O. He's a huge Green Bay Packer fan. So, I guess the question go ahead.
Oh, Favre, very happy for him. He's a traitor, but I feel that he'd have his little inductee thing into the Hall of Fame for the Packers. Of course, and I'll leave it at that.
Good deal. All right. Thanks, Zach, for listening, man. We'll call in, and we'll definitely get to talk to you soon, okay, sir?
Okay. You guys have a great evening. And like I said, we thoroughly enjoyed your show. Keep up the good work, pal.
All right.
Thanks,
thank
sir.
You. Appreciate the call.
Okay. You're welcome. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Daddy, you're calling in the show. A lot of love, too. So hopefully his phone was okay, too. But, I wish you would have got a chance. He's like you, Rob. He's not a huge fan of Johnny Manziel, so it's funny to hear his comments about that, too. So, anyway, I love it. Thank you, Dad, for calling in. We're just trying to, talking about, and I wanted to hear your thoughts about the antics about Richard Sherman, too, Rob. You didn't get a chance to talk about that, sir.
I think for the most part it's in fun. And I think Pete Carroll likes that, too. I think he coaches that team that way to have a little swag about themselves, confident and things of that nature. And I think that's their style there in Seattle. So I think for the most part, I think it's all in fun. Even the comments he made after the NFC Championship game last year, I don't personally think he hates Michael Crabtree. But I just think, that's just the attitude that he has when you're playing the game. And, it's for show. It's for television. It's entertainment.
I agree with you. It's good fun to see that. I know the NFL gets a lot of a lot of flack for being known as the no fun league, and we have to have that, Rob, to definitely make sure that we're, you know, it's a sport. You know, we enjoy this. It's good to see some type of antics and something that's a little bit different. As long as you don't carry it too far, I guess, is definitely the thing, too. But as long as, like you said, it's a way to lighten up the mood, everyone seems to be having a good time, you know, it's fine, and I'm sure he's actually more happy now, Rob, because he's actually getting paid, so he can do those antics, right?
Absolutely. He's getting a big fat contract now.
I'm sure he's happy. And if you're Patrick Peterson, I know as much as you like to go back and forth, you're actually probably sending him a thank you note because of Richard Sherman, you got that bigger deal as well, too, so. You know, anyway, we'll talk about that as well. And we'll probably compare those two, too. I want to get your feedback on that, too. So we got about 5 minutes left in the show. Once again, Daddy-O, appreciate you calling in. The number to call is 424-243-9519. We're getting ready to wrap it up. If you didn't know, we are almost getting ready to go to the OT portion, and we're going to talk more about that. But I do want to touch base, Rob, about the NBA. And obviously, if you didn't know, there was a situation where Paul George – he got that gruesome injury where he actually broke he had the open compound fracture with the tibia, and his fibia actually broken. And I guess you're getting a little bit of feedback about this. And is it good for NBA players to compete in international competition? And now I know back in the day we used to have some of our college stars involved in that. And is it a good thing, Rob? Do you think it should be more NBA players? Or what are your thoughts about this, Rob? Is it a situation where you think that you know, just kind of a bad injury or what? I want to get your feedback on this.
Well, here's my thoughts on the process. First of all, our thoughts and prayers are with Paul George, and we hope that he has a speedy recovery, dynamic ball player for the Indiana Pacers. And so we obviously hope he recovers from this and gets back on the court. I think the NBA, we're going to be down a great player this season. So it hurts to see that happened to him or anyone for that matter. But I'm going to say yes, we should continue to have NBA players competing in international competitions for a couple of reasons. Obviously, as nasty as this injury was, it could have happened anywhere. And obviously, these guys stay in shape in the off season. They play pickup games in the off season. And of course, you know, there's always a chance. Unfortunately, there's a chance for injury. So it could have happened anywhere. I think this is probably a 1 in 200 kind of chance of something like this happening. So I still think it's a small chance of something like this happening, but it still could have happened anywhere. So I don't think this should prevent players from competing in international competition. I think historically when these guys compete internationally, they come back better players, come back smarter players. And, of course, you know, it's a great honor, of course, of playing for your country. So I think ever since the NBA players have been playing internationally, the game of basketball has grown tremendously around the globe. You know, of course, it's still number two behind soccer. It's the most popular sport in the world. But it's been gaining on soccer, believe it or not. And I think a part of it is because of the NBA players playing. Has made basketball the number two sport in the world behind soccer.
Gotcha. We got about 90 seconds. If we go ahead and set up the OT portion, and don't forget, maybe we can mention about fantasy football as well as we're starting to get ready for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. For those interested in playing fantasy football, we have three leagues. We have two free leagues for those who are interested in just playing for fun. We have two free leagues. And then we also have a paid league if anyone's interested in winning. We have a league with a $30 entry fee, $300 for the winner, and $60 for the second place winner. Just send us your emails if you're interested in playing fantasy football or spread the word, and we will get those invites to you. We have some spots remaining in our free league, and I think at the moment we have 5 spots remaining in our paid league. So definitely send us your email. These spots are going fast. If you're interested in competing with us, send us those email addresses as quickly as possible so we can get those invites out to you. Also, join us on next Tuesday night. We'll be back on the air, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. For our good friends in Hawaii, aloha. It'll be 5 p.m. on next Tuesday evening. Good night, people.
Good night, people. And once again, listen to the link show, and you can hear the OT portion. We're going to keep it moving with the USA Basketball. We're going to talk about some Heisman talk as well as the top power conferences from the NCAA. We'll see you next week. Just got it in there, Rob. We are now officially in the OT portion. And, yeah, I do want to talk, you know, a little bit more about the subject, too, about what you were talking about getting hurt. And I know they had a good interview with Jim Boeheim, the coach of for Syracuse, and he was basically saying to the effect that, you know, anyone can get hurt in different scenarios, Rob, where, you know, he's had situations where somebody was walking down the street or they were, like, you know, they were in the room and they just ended up tearing an ACL or something that's minor. So injuries can always occur at any scenario. And actually, I appreciate what he was talking about because he was definitely describing how, you know, yeah, you can get hurt in a pickup game than you can in a controlled scrimmage, and that's what they normally have. They have a, you know, they say that, we have the players, they're playing for 20 minutes. You know, it's a controlled environment. You know, the competition. So it's not like you're going at somebody trying to prove themselves. So, you know, I think it's just a situation where it's a tough break for Paul George, tough break for the Pacers. It's going to make things more interesting, I would say, in the Eastern Conference now. And I do want to talk about some trade rumors between Kevin Love and the Cleveland Cavaliers and vice versa, too. But just, you know, that's my thoughts on it. It's a situation where if you're a college player, you're trying to get to the NBA, so it's tough in that aspect. But if you're an NBA player, you're already getting paid. So I think it's kind of a no-win no matter what you do. So keep it as is. Let's move forward with that. I apologize for being long-winded with that, Rob. Sorry about that.
Well, there's no problem at all. It's definitely good feedback there. And, yeah, you just mentioned the situation with Kevin Love. And there's several reports out right now of the Cleveland and Minnesota having a handshake deal. But, of course, they can't make an official announcement until August 23rd. They have to wait 30 days after Andrew Wiggins was signed. And so basically, based on the reports that I'm hearing, it's looking like it's going to be a three-team trade there. Well, Kevin Love will go from Minnesota to Cleveland. Andrew Wiggins will go from Cleveland to Minnesota. Anthony Bennett of Cleveland will go to Philadelphia. And Thaddeus Young will go to Minnesota as well. So basically, the simplified is Minnesota will get Thaddeus Young and Andrew Wiggins. Cleveland will get Kevin Love, and Philly will get Anthony Bennett. Now, there's also a report that J.J. Barrera may also go to Cleveland in this trade as well. Haven't been able to confirm that just as of yet. But the other four pieces, it looks like it's a done deal. I'll go over one more time. Andrew Wiggins and Thaddeus Young to Minnesota, Kevin Love to Cleveland. And we're looking at Anthony Bennett to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Wow, this is interesting. Looks like it's going to be likely done by late August is what we're talking about. Word on the street, Rob, is that Wiggins wants to play where he's wanted. You know, so we've talked about this briefly. Do you think this is a good move, Rob? I mean, does this put Cleveland kind of in the number one slot, if you will, as far as to the Eastern Conference Finals here? I mean, is this good chemistry, you think, or what?
Oh, I think it definitely puts Cleveland at the top of the Eastern Conference. There's no question about it. And definitely a contention for an NBA title. When you look at LeBron James, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, that's probably an even better big three than what he had down in Miami. And also Cleveland has some solid role players on Tristan Thompson, Anderson Varejao. If you look at the Miami Heat organization the last few years, LeBron James had to play a lot of power forward down there. They were a very small team with Chris Bosh playing center. He won't have to do that as much in Cleveland. And the reason being is he's got Tristan Thompson, he's got Anderson Varejao. That's two big 6'11 guys. You bring in Kevin Love, another banger. So he's probably going to be able to play his more natural small forward position. And it kind of explains why he's losing a little bit of weight this offseason. So he won't have to bang down in the post as much with Cleveland because he's got the bodies in the paint, you know, to take that kind of pounding. Then, of course, Kyrie Irving, if you get a J.J. Barrera. They're on the verge of signing Sean Marion as well. They just officially signed Mike Miller and James Jones, so they got the outside shooters. And may even possibly be adding Ray Allen to the mix there in Cleveland. And, of course, you still have Deion Waiters there as well. So I think that automatically puts them as a favorite. Yeah, if this trade officially goes down, I think you definitely they're the favorite. Now, let's say Kevin Love does not go to Cleveland, then I'll put the Bulls in the number one spot in the East. Derrick Rose looks completely healthy, looked phenomenal the other night in the game. And you add Pau Gasol and Joakim Noah to the mix. In the event Cleveland does not get Kevin Love, I put the Bulls in the number one slot in the Eastern Conference.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, that's good. That's good stuff to talk about. So we'll keep an eye on that situation when it comes down. I'm sure. Stay tuned to Talking Sports whenever that goes down, and we'll be able to comment on that as it continues on. Let's talk about the U.S. basketball team, Rob. Obviously, we had some situations where some players were cut. In that, John Wall, Bradley Beal, Paul Millsap, as they get that roster trimmed down to 16, but I think it's not a view of these guys. I don't think it's more or less a slap in the face. I think it's more or less that there are certain players that may be similar, players right now. Because right now, the roster, you got DeMarcus Cousins, you got Stephen Curry, Anthony Davis from the Pelicans, DeMar DeRozan, Drummond, Kevin Durant, Kenneth Faried, James Harden, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard, Chandler Parsons, Derrick Rose, Klay Thompson, and Mason Plumlee, and Kyle Korver. That's a pretty good team right there, Rob, right now. So, it's more or less like they're saying that they're bad players. Just they have to kind of, find players that fit. And, maybe a Bradley Beal, maybe a little younger right at this time, and there's a player maybe a little bit better, or maybe that fit a role. So I don't know if you want to have any thoughts about the team right now that we're looking at.
Yeah, and they still have to cut four more players before they get down to 12. So, I mean, this was just the first cut here. And I guess the only guy that I guess would be somewhat of a surprise that it was released, and that was Bradley Beal, because obviously in an Olympic international competition, you need those outside shooters on your team. And so he's a guy that's a great spot-up shooter that can knock it down from deep. And so I guess out of the three guys, I think he's probably a better fit for international competition. A slight surprise, not a big surprise. Not a losing John Wall, of course, not that big of a surprise. Stephen Curry, mm-hmm. You got a point guard who can knock it down from deep. He's probably a better fit international mm-hmm. competition. So is Kyrie Irving. And mm-hmm. the way Derrick Rose is playing, he can get to the cup at any time as well. He can kick it out and penetrate a little bit too. A little bit better, even though Wall does have that kind of ability as well. But he's not the shooter that the other guys are. So Bradley Beal, like I said, in my opinion, is the only one that's a slight surprise, because in international competition, you love those spot-up shooters.
Yeah, and like you said, Damian Lillard, he's a good guard too. So, it's just kind of the guard play too. So, we'll keep an eye on that too. It's exciting too. So we'll keep that moving too. We are definitely moving on in the show. Let's talk also about I do want to talk about some Heisman contenders for this year. I know we're kind of switching subjects here. And if we have some time, we'll definitely talk about the Power 5 conferences within the NCAA too. But what do you think about some Heisman contenders going for this year, Rob?
Well, there's five guys in particular I want to talk about here. And, of course, Jameis Winston, the reigning Heisman, so you got to throw him in the mix. He's going to be a sophomore this season, so you definitely have to consider him in the mix as a possible repeat Heisman winner. Even how hard, that's very hard to do, but you still have to throw him in the mix. Some of the guys you're going to throw in the mix is Marcus Mariota, quarterback for Oregon. He's got the option to run. He's got the option to pass. Those kind of guys are usually great contenders for the Heisman when they can put up big numbers in both categories, both run and pass. I think another guy you're going to have to do in the mix this year, Braxton Miller, quarterback for Ohio State. same thing. Mm-hmm. He's got the great run pass option. And that's the thing, that Jameis Winston is just more of a pure passer. He may not put up big numbers running. So that's the only thing that will probably keep him from not winning it. There's a quarterback that's going to put up both big numbers in both categories. And Mariota and Miller are both candidates there. Bryce Petty, quarterback, Baylor, pocket passer, throws the ball all over the field. He's not really the run threat, but he can certainly throw it. And at Baylor, they're going to throw the ball a lot in that offense. And last but not least, Brett Hundley, I think a terrific athlete, another guy who really likes to stay in the pocket and throw the ball, but he's got that threat of running as well, another tremendous athlete. Obviously, I got five quarterbacks here. Lately, that's all we've been seeing as far as winning the Heisman, and I'm sticking with, you know, five quarterbacks here, even though you got some great running backs out there, and Todd Gurley and a few others that could possibly get on the list. But these are my top five.
I like it, Rob. That's a pretty good list, man. Like I said, you know, I like it. I don't have anything to dissuade from that, but man, fantastic. Good calls. I think all of those, you nailed number one. Jameis Winston definitely is in that seat right now, too, if he doesn't do anything to mess it up. You know, we'll talk about their chances to repeat, too. You know, a lot of those quarterbacks, you know, for Oregon, great call as well. Brent Hundley, we'll see how it plays out, too, you know. So you think there's, like, an outside chance from another skill position that can come in and possibly do that, Rob? You know, with Todd Gurley's of the world, you know, anything you think that can do that kind of, like, upseats some of those quarterbacks?
Well, he's probably the only one outside of the quarterback position I think could possibly make a run at it, possibly, you know. You know, LSU is talking Leonard Fournette, the possibility of being a freshman contender. We'll just have to kind of wait and see. It's hard to gauge a player without having seen him play. You know, just based off what we've seen, Todd Gurley is the guy that I think outside of the quarterback position that you can possibly throw in the mix. But I think it's just so hard to win as a non-quarterback these days. Quarterbacks touching the ball every play. You know, you got the run pass. A lot of these guys are multiple. They can do both. And so it's kind of hard to beat off those guys, as we saw with Tim Tebow and Cam Newton and those players like that as well.
Gotcha. All right, we made it to the show here. Let's talk about it. I know we were talking about kind of our the Power Five conferences too. So, and I guess the question is, if you are out there, we got about 3 minutes, Rob. Maybe you can fit this in there pretty quickly here. Do you think those conferences should separate from the NCAA? What are your thoughts about this?
I think in football, yes. In basketball, no. I think in football, it's just such a gap between those major five conferences and the other ones. I think they should separate. I think the top five, and this we're talking here, the SEC, Big 12, Big 10, ACC, and the Pac-12, I think they should separate and have their own bowls. They should have their own playoff system. And then you separate the Sun Belts, the AAC, and the Mid-American. You let them have their own little playoff system as well, and separate the two. Now, basketball is fine. Keep it the way it is. I won't change a thing. Stick with the March Madness, because these guys, they, in some cases, they can compete with the major schools. So I wouldn't change a thing in basketball, but I think in football, let's separate the two.
Nice. Well, Rob, we got about 2 minutes, so I'll just go ahead and wrap it up as we get ready to prepare for next week's show, if you will. And fantasy football, don't forget, we talked about that briefly as well. Get signed up for that, but go ahead as we get ready to wrap up this edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Got a minute now.
Yeah, once again, those fantasy football, send us your emails if you're interested in competing with us. We got a few more spots in the free league. I think we got about 5 spots left in the paid leagues. Once again, it's $30, $300 to the winner, $60 to second place for those that want to compete in the paid league. Also, join us next Tuesday night for our live show, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thank you, as always. What a great show. We appreciate your time. Rob, till next week, man, and we've got 4 spots actually left, too. So, you know, yours truly signed up, so I'm looking forward to a $300 payday. So I'm looking to take everybody's money. So, you know, we'll talk soon about that.
Yeah, you sure. You, Yeah, you a host, man. You better sign up.
I had to get that signed in, too. I know it's some crazy busy. But anyway, appreciate that. Rob, have a good evening, sir. We'll talk to you later, sir.
Good night.
Good night.